Sometimes you feel like God is mad at you or against you. And sometimes people question, if God is there, why is this all bad things are happening? He is judging us. God is judging here, God is judging there. That's how we perceive God. Maybe not. Nobody can define God. But what we know is, God is not bad. God didn't intend for anybody to be destroyed. Never been an intention of God to turn his face away from nobody. The only time he does is when people rebel against him. Whether they know him or not, humanity in general, every time they want to walk away from God, he want to destroy them. But he can't. So he changes his mind. He says, no, I would bless you. And also he raised people like Jeremiah. Jeremiah is just like anybody else. You know, sometimes we see people who stand here, preach, or, you know, who serve God in so many different capacities in the church. And we see them as different from us. The difference is they are called to do that. They are made for that. That doesn't mean they are better. But what they do is they stand in the gap. That's why God is telling Jeremiah for the second time. The first time he already spoke through Jeremiah. At the beginning of the reading, it said this, the word of God came again through Jeremiah. Not because he's different from anybody else. He got two hands, he's human being, feet, he's a complete human being, but he's made for that. And to cry, God is saying to him, cry. Cry unto me, because I will show you the hidden things. And I believe that the hidden things would be when he cried, God would turn around and bless, restore the people that he intended to destroy because they rebel against him. And please hide that in your heart. Every time you feel like God is destroying us, or God is against me, or every time we have a picture of God in a destroying mode, please put in your heart, no, God is into restoring. Amen? Into rebuilding, into putting us all together. If he turns his face away, it's not because he's bad. He just wants us to be close to him. Glory to the name of God. And I will be reading the second reading, which is in Gospel of Acts chapter 9, verses 1, 3, 19. It's good that you have bulletin. I cannot mislead you. But before that, do we have a choir here? God bless you, choir. Keep singing. Keep singing. Never stop singing. I mean, when the children were up here, I was reminded of when I was their age. Most of the songs in Ethiopia, and we became Christian after the Swedish and people from Norway and Germany came. So most of the songs were translated to our language. I mean, so for me, it's like heaven on earth. I just remember that. That's why when they're singing here, the children singing, I'm like, I'm there again. They took me back. When we did, yeah, Jesus is anati wedal, yalem is anatulu, a different language, the same song. It's amazing. Keep singing. There's so much power in singing and healing. I know it's not part of the bulletin, but I know you would forgive me. The Gospel of, I'll be reading from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Went to the high priests and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belong to the way, men or women, he may bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground and thought his eyes were open. He could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days that he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judah, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay him hand on him too, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard for many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who involve in your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument who have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. Myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hand on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me to that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scale fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for the power of his
when, I don't want to say when people, but when the enemy, who is the enemy? The devil. I don't even like to call his name. I don't really like to pay attention to him. Because there is nothing that the devil, the enemy do good. It's to kill, to destroy, and the enemy cannot see the existence of the followers of Jesus Christ. So it was the enemy using Paul. Paul was thinking that he was doing God a favor when he was persecuting Christians, to the point he agreed for them to be killed. They were not murderers. They're not doing nothing, no bad. They're living life. They're following Jesus. As far as the Bible is concerned, Jesus didn't demonstrate any violence. He didn't demonstrate any hatred. All he demonstrated his lifetime on earth is representing the kingdom of God on earth. It's all good. And all the Israel, they know that. They knew Jesus, non-violent man. So these disciples that are following Jesus, if anything they do, they worship God. And that doesn't do any harm to anybody. But see, the enemy doesn't like that. So Paul was an instrument for the devil, killing, destroying Christians. He thought he can get his way out. But who is in charge? God is in charge. Jesus is in charge. Who is in charge? The one who called the disciples to serve him. So God met him in the way, and Jesus stabbed him. So he called him by name. What amazes me about this scripture, he says, Lord. How did he know how to say Lord? How can he say Lord from persecuting, killing to Lord, what do I mean to do? That is what the power of God does. Can we say amen? The power of God does that. And if you, as you remember what I was reading, what I read, and when God, by the Spirit, when God sent Ananias to Paul, he said, go to him. He said, God, this man is not good. He's a destroyer, he's a killer, he's a murderer. This man, everybody know that. How can you send me to him? It's the right thing to say. I mean, if there is anybody in town that kill people or associate with somebody who kill people, would you like to be friend with that man or woman? No, you won't. So Ananias was like, God, don't you know? Don't you know this man? But God knew him. Jesus knew him. He may be a murderer today. He may be persecuting Christians today, but tomorrow he's going to receive the same persecution in my name, for my name's sake. That's what God can do. So every time we believers like we feel like persecuted, most of the time we say, I'm persecuted by this person, that person. I don't think we know the clear meaning of persecution. Because you hear people always using that word. I'm persecuted here, I'm persecuted there. But whether we are persecuted for our faith or whether we are persecuted just for being alive as a believers, we are under attack most of the time. But the other side of the story, God interferes. Amen? He interferes, he stops the enemy from destroying us. That's what God has done for the people who follow Jesus Christ. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. May we rise as I read that. There are so many Lutherans around the world. Some stand for the gospel reading, some don't. Either way, Old Testament, New Testament, is all powerful. But something about the gospel relate really deeply to us since we are the people of New Testament. That's why we rise up. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 6, 27 to 38. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the others also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. If you love those who love you, who credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do not do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the upright, ungrateful, and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. You may be seated. This scripture that I just read, and I've been Christian of my life, all my life. I don't know life outside of God. Everything, I grew up in the church, I heard this scripture over and over again. But let me tell you something, it's not my favorite. I don't know if it is yours. And for years, it didn't make sense to me. Still, it doesn't make sense to me. When you love your enemy, bless those who persecute you and abuse you, bless them and love them, and somebody gets you on one cheek and you say, oh, you missed this one? And people take away from you. Thankfully, you have an amazing law in America. If anybody do you wrong, it's 911 away. Even I know that. Even me, I know that. Not being from this country. A lot of people are taking advantage of that. Especially people from another world, from a different world, who didn't have 911 back in their country. Now they have it, so they push 911 for anything. Because, you know, it's not right for you to be abused, to be beaten up, and all that. I love that law being in place. And I pray that this law will continue to work in this country. But this is different. This is like you allow somebody to keep abusing you, to take advantage of you, and they want something from you, and you give them more. It really doesn't make sense. For your mind, does it? For a mind, for a flesh, it doesn't make any sense. And most of the time, what we hear, let me read one verse. This is what we hear all the time. The last verse. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. You hear that? How many of you heard that? Hear that scripture? You don't hear? I mean, that is a favorite scripture for most Christians. It's a word of God, it works. But we don't hear what goes with that. We don't hear a lot of forgive those who wrong you. You don't hear that. Even when we read it, we're like, what does that mean? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But for God, for Jesus, it makes sense. And who said this? This is the word of Jesus. If anybody who could say that boldly is Jesus, they took advantage of him. They pushed him, a pure man. That didn't do anything. They persecuted him. Even when he was proclaiming the kingdom of God, they say that, oh, he is demon-possessed. And everything he does, Jesus was pushed all the way to the cross. How could he pray for those who put him on the cross? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It really doesn't make sense for your mind. But Jesus did that as not only as God, but as a human being. It's very hard to do that. But when is it possible to do that is when you have that Christ in you. When I have that Christ in me, the Word of God in me, that is the Word of God would enable me to do that. Not me. Not me loving my enemy, bless my enemy, not me. But that Jesus who was pushed all the way to the cross. All the way. When he is in me, not in and out. Not in and out. If he's in my life and out, if Jesus is depend on how I feel about Jesus, about God, then my life will be roller coaster. I feel good here, I feel bad here, I cry in the morning, I smile in the evening, roller coaster. Because I go with my emotion. Who likes me, who hates me, what people think about me, it just goes on and on. That's the life of humanity. It doesn't matter what country we are from. That's what humanity is, human being means. Just going through emotion, roller coaster. But when that Jesus, when that God, the Word of God reside and abide in us, the Word of God is the one enable us to do that, to love our enemy. To bless those, and when you do that, they are shocked. You know, suppose you don't have peace with somebody, okay? You know that, they know that. You don't have peace, you don't care about each other. And then you just walk on the street, here you go, bump to each other. Somehow you couldn't avoid them this time. And you run to them and you would say hello first. Maybe you didn't even think about saying hello. Guess who has a joy? You! Guess who have the joy? You! Guess what happened to the other person? How did he say hello to me? I mean, if you go further and forgive, if you forgive the person that you forgive, they would be they would be shocked. How can you forgive me? I did this and this and this to you. How can you say hello to me? I mean, there is so much power in loving, in forgiving. I was saying earlier in the morning service, when you have a problem with people or they have a problem with you, here you go, you are in your beautiful house, on your reclining chair, they are there. The people who wronged you. Here you are driving your beautiful car, enjoying the spring, beautiful weather. They are right there sitting next to you. Here you are in the mall. I mean, whatever you like to do, you cannot even enjoy your life Because those people are there. You cannot avoid them. So who has a rough life? We have a rough life. But we don't know what to do with it. We cannot avoid problems. The good news, well, I want to repeat again, when God is in us, he enables us to love unconditionally. Then is when the last verse become real. When you do that, not by yourself, God helps you to love our loved ones. He helps you to stretch your hands when you're not supposed to forgive continually. He helps you to do that. When he helps us, I want to include myself, when he helps us to do that, we have peace. That peace you cannot buy. There is no money that you can put together, you buy peace. It's too expensive to buy. So it's really, it doesn't make sense for our flesh, but for our spirit, it makes sense. Because when we do those things for our own well-being, not only our spiritual well-being, our physical well-being, and we don't lose nothing. You know why? Somebody take money away from you, they don't give it to you. You say, okay, all that what I read, it happens, okay, let it go, let it go, let it go. And you go farther. This is what happens to you for reality. It happens to us. When we do the above things that I read, and then what happens? It will be given to you. The peace will be given to you. Not only the prosperity. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and your peace, your well-being become overflow. When we do the above things, it's hard to do it. But when God is in us, he enables us to do that. When that happens, our joy, our peace, our well-being. Not only that, everything that comes with it, it becomes complete in us. So, what is this scripture has to do with our personal life? The first one that we read is about Jeremiah. He said to him, cry unto me, because I will show you the hidden things. It's not only Jeremiah that's supposed to cry to God. It's for everybody. God is a father of all, right? So we cry unto him because he's going to show us a hidden thing, the things that we don't know. The thing what we know, we're like, I know that. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. But he shows us the hidden thing that we don't know. And also, he restores us. Isn't that a good thing? Let me see your smile. God restores. He does that. When we cry to him, he restores. The second reading, no matter what the devil, the enemy does to us, God interferes. Somebody may think they are powerful enough to drag you to the prison, but not as powerful as God. So he is in charge. He protects us. The third reading, it's hard to do those things in our flesh, to forgive and to give, not to demand. It's hard. Sometimes when you do that, people look at you and say, oh, she is naive, or he is naive. No, you're not. No, I'm not. Let it go. The more we let it go, the more we have. This is the word of God. Amen.